lose a bowl game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
Well, right now, never been better. mission accomplished. For those that have been under a rock for the past 2 days, Jack State 52, Western Kentucky 12 in the Conference USA Championship game, and they played better than I ever thought possible, and this team has played really good for a lot of weeks in a row now, and they outdid everyone's expectations. We're going to get into all that stuff here in just a minute. We'll get to the coaching buzz and craziness towards the end, and we'll go over the bowl game. They just got announced, officially announced a couple of hours ago or a few hours ago now, that they will play Ohio and in Orlando. So we get into all that also. But we'll start, obviously, with what we got to witness Friday night. And if you weren't there, you missed an all-time game for Jack State. Home, away, neutral site, all that's indifferent. This was an all-time performance, offensively, defensively, special teams, and they outplayed Western Kentucky in every facet except field goal kicking, because that kid that Western got is unbelievable, but doesn't matter at this point. So we'll get into a lot of the stats and stuff here as we go, but just the overall feel, I mean, it was complete domination, like we said, 52-12. Tyler Huff played as close to perfect as you probably could from a quarterback position. He threw for 176 yards and two touchdowns, ran for 167 and then another touchdown. Trey Stewart scored three times and had over 200 yards. Cam Vaughn had a huge game. It was a complete team victory, defensively also. They had only a couple sacks as a team, but they had, six tackles for loss and forced a turnover. So they held a really good Western offense at 12 points. They held Veltkamp to under 150 yards passing and shut down the Hilltoppers. So it was a complete, like I said, complete team victory. They get out to a hot start early. Two touchdown passes start the game. A long one to Cam Vaughn, the Sean Brown touchdown catch first. Then the long one to Cam Vaughn came after that, and they just kept the gas pedal down all the way through. They scored 10 or more points in all four quarters. That's what good football teams do. They keep the pedal down and they don't let up. And Jack State didn't, and they won the conference. And they're technically their first year eligible to win the conference. In their second year at the FBS level. And if you're not proud of this football team, I don't know what to tell you, because from where they started to where they are now, they have done a complete 180, and they, I believe, are one of the 25 best teams in the country now. But, that 0-3 start kind of hurts that potential to go to bowl season as a ranked team. But that's not the – not the big news. Jack State winning a conference championship was something that we talked about when the year started, that should be the goal. They played so good last year in conference and weren't eligible for the title game and that kind of thing. And even last year, had they beaten New Mexico State in their last game of the season, they would have had the second best conference record behind Liberty and wouldn't have even been eligible to go to the title game. So, you come into this year, and you think that we said this team should go and compete for a conference championship and make the game, and they did just that. They won their first six straight conference games, got to host and took care of business against Western after really throwing one away last week against the Hilltoppers. So it was a cold night for those that were there. If you were bundled up and had some hand warmers and that kind of thing, you probably had a lot of fun. And then there was a lot of fun after the game, too, if you got to go out on the field and see the trophy and all that stuff. It was a lot of fun. But Brooks, let you kind of talk about, your perspective, what Jack State did. But, for my, where we sat together, it was a one-sided affair. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this was about a perfect game as we've played all year. We did it all. We ran the ball well. Huff had a really good night throwing the ball. Defense just smothered Caden Velk. Yeah. We got a, you know, we let Elijah Young get away from us a few times. He actually ended up having a pretty good night, 19 carries for 108 yards. But other than that, they had a few chunk plays here and there, and that's what, you know, I thought was a key to winning this game was, you know, minimizing those chunk plays that just ate us up when we went to Bowling Green last week, and they did. They made the adjustments that they need. I thought that, you know, where, you know, Jack State played a lot so much so conservative, I kind of thought in that game last week that they let the horses run this week, undoubted, you know. I think a lot of last week had to do with we knew we were in this game. So we were playing this game, and we were playing this game at home. So, you know, minimize the injuries. Don't do anything too flashy. You know, just kind of, you know, win if we can. Obviously, the goal is always to win. But win if we can. If we lose, it's not the end of the world. We're, you know, we'll get them again next week. And like I said, we let the horses run this week. It just did everything right. And I thought, I thought the defense had the game had the game of the year the other night. Of course, you know, we've had some other really good games against Kennesaw and Middle Tennessee and New Mexico State and, you know, games like that. But against a quality opponent like this, undoubtedly the best defensive performance that we've had all year. J-Rock Swain and Kyron McCray both have fumble recoveries. Didn't have any picks, but the defensive backs, you know, I've been harping on them all year. They need to step up. They stepped up this week. Antonio Carter had a sack. Fred Perry had another really good game. He was all over the field. Zechariah Poyser led the team in tackles. And even Jameer Latimer had a good game. So had a pretty good game. So, you know, everything that we could have possibly done right, we did right. And we did it with, we stepped on the gas from the second we got the ball, from the second we got the ball in the first quarter and just never looked back. 14 points, 10 points, and 14, in each quarter, and just dominated, pure domination. There's nothing else that can better describe how this game went. I think Tyler Huff must have been listening to our last episode when we were talking about, you know, potentially putting in Logan Smothers, who that was a really cool moment to see him get to see him come in and score the last touchdown of the game. The guy's been a trooper all year dealing with injury. And get to come in last week and have a really big impact on our offense, and then to seal the conference championship for us at home under the lights in front of our crowd was just an all time awesome moment. So that was really cool to see. But, you know, we were talking about last week, you know, maybe, you know, obviously we want Huff to start, but, you know, maybe want to see Logan Smothers get a few more snaps this game. And let him throw a little more, you know, because we think that Smothers is just the better all around passer. And I do still believe that to a point. I think he's a little bit more accurate. He had the one beautiful throw to Cam Vaughn down the far left sideline that, you know, he put it only where Vaughn could get it to set up a Trey Stewart touchdown. I think he really stepped it up with his arm, this week. So, I kind of would have liked to seen it a few more times earlier this year. But you know, it couldn't have picked a better time for that arm to get kicking in high gear. Like 11-15, 176 yards and two touchdowns. Just a great passing, a great night through the air, and once again on the ground with another 167 yard performance. And Trey Stewart, you know, He was another one. I remember I told you, Drew, he's gonna peel one off here in a minute. He's gonna peel off a 55 yard touchdown, something like that. And he never really went on a really long scoring play like that. But just, you know, you average 7.4 yards a carry, just eating up that defense and wearing them down. I mean, they just didn't have any answer for it. It didn't matter what we did. So, like I said, absolutely near perfect game from this Gamecock team, and I could not be more proud. That was one of the most fun times I've ever had at a Jack State game. Froze my rear end off. it wasn't too bad in the first half, but something clicked in about the third quarter. Where, dang, it's all right. This is pretty cold. But I couldn't imagine being anywhere else to watch that game. It was I thought it was a really good environment considering the weather, the people that did stick it out to the very end, and you know, even I know some people left a little bit once we got up about 3 or 4 scores, but still, nonetheless, I thought it was a really good crowd, a really good environment. It wasn't a traditional field storming, but getting the storm of the field after the game, that was so much fun. Me and Drew were running around like we were 9 years old again, like we had just won the game. So that was a lot. It was a lot of fun. It was a great win, great moment in Jack State history. And like I said, I could not be more proud of what we turned that 0-3 start into, and where we are today, and you know where we can go forward with this program.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad you talked about Logan there, getting that touchdown to end the game was really cool. And kind of piggybacking off of that, we didn't see Ron play. And I know, Brooks, mm-hmm. you said during the game, maybe they're appealing his denied red shirt at this point. For those that know what happened with that situation, of course, Ron's been hurt most of the year and came back probably 3 weeks ago now, healthy. And they simply denied him a medical red shirt due to his eligibility status as a freshman. So, you know, maybe they're appealing that, and they think they're going to win, and they held him out because I would imagine if he was not going to get that red shirt, or this is going to be his last home game, no matter what, we would have saw him in a 40-point blowout at some point. Yeah. But we didn't, so we'll kind of see how that goes. But yeah, it's really cool to see Logan come in and score a touchdown. That was probably my favorite score of the night for sure. We had the long touchdown to Cam Vaughn, and you know, Stewart scored 3 times, and Huff threw another touchdown pass to Sean Brown. But that Smothers touchdown was really, really good to see, and you kind of saw how happy the sideline got when he got it in the end zone. So that was really, really good. But yeah, like you said, a complete win. It's there's not really a whole lot to even talk about besides. They played the best game that Jack State's played maybe in a decade since they played Sam Houston that playoff game and won 62-10. That might have been the last time they played this good and this important of a football game. So just really, really proud of how they played. And I think, like you said, this program is in position to go do really, really good things, regardless of who's coaching them, which we'll get into here in just a minute. Before we leave the West Kentucky shellacking, as far as stars of the game go, we didn't post anything on Twitter and letting you guys pick. I don't think that it would be fair to the rest of the team to give someone a star of the game. I think everyone deserves one. So that's kind of the route we took on Twitter. That seemed to be the popular opinion for this week was, everybody gets one, regardless of whether you played or not. Really, it was that dominant of a game where it's going to be that hard to pick somebody. So it's over at this point. They have done the mission at hand. They set out to win the conference. Rich Rod said as much preseason. We said as much preseason, and they turned it around. They're 9-4, and they'll go play Ohio and Orlando in the Cure Bowl on December 20th, which we'll get into in a little bit at the very, very end. Of course, we'll have our own show dedicated to that. But this was an all-time night at Burgess Snow. And like Brooke said, if you weren't there, you missed a really good one regardless of the weather, because this was no place I'd rather be than watch Tech State win a conference championship by 40 points. So we'll move on there. But we'll get into the – I don't know if it's sour news or sad news or good news or what it's going to end up being. But as of now, as this is recorded here on Monday afternoon, Rich Rodriguez is still the head coach at Jacksonville State University. We don't know much more than that. We know a few things as far as he did interview with West Virginia earlier in the week before the conference championship game. He interviewed with West Virginia. I think they've interviewed Jimbo Fisher or were going to. Same thing with Penn State's offensive coordinator. Kotelnicki is his last name, Andy Kotelnicki. I know he's emerged as a candidate also for the West Virginia job, but you know, all we heard all week was Rich Rod's number one candidate, number one candidate, number one candidate. Well, if your number one candidate interviewed 5 days ago, why haven't they hired him yet? And I know they weren't going to announce anything before the game started, right? But as soon as the horn sounded in that conference championship game, it's fair game to hire him, if you ask me. I mean, from a Jack Sink perspective, if Rich Rod's going to go to West Virginia, you would want that move to be made as early as practical. That way it gives Jack State more time to get Bill Clark in the door or get whoever they're going to get in the door. So weird maybe to me that it's been this long and we haven't heard an announcement. That would lead me to believe that maybe Rich Rod's not going to take the job, or maybe he wasn't offered the job. But I think we'll know more tomorrow on Monday. So, and if I said we're recording this on Monday, I meant Sunday. I don't know my days of the week, clearly. But I think we'll know more tomorrow. I think that's when a lot of the West Virginia news feeds that we see on Twitter and that kind of thing are expecting it to be announced. So if Rich Rod does leave, you will see an emergency podcast of some kind tomorrow. But if you ask me now, I'm a whole lot more optimistic than I was 48 hours ago. I think when I woke up Saturday morning, I was expecting it to be announced on game day pretty much that he was going to go to West Virginia. And they made it through game day, and they made it through the conference championship days, and they made it through the night, and now we're on into Sunday, and they've made it all day today and haven't announced Rich Rod. So with each passing minute, I get a little bit more and more optimistic that Rich Rod either turned it down, wasn't offered, or something kind of like that. And I know that there's a big contingent of Mountaineers that don't want Rich Rod because he did leave on bad terms the first time. But there's also a big contingent that does, and that is led by Pat McAfee, and he has a lot of pull in that program and college football and media, and you guys know who that is. So if they were going to hire him, they would have already done it. But, you know, if I would not be surprised tomorrow if we wake up at 8 o'clock and Rich Rod's announced as the new coach of the Mountaineers. But, you know, maybe Andy Kotelnicki interviewed and they really liked him and they're going to go that route instead. Or maybe Rich Rod just said, you know what, I've thought more about it and I want to stay here and finish my coaching career out at Jack State. For whatever reason, you know, I know his wife's talked about how much she likes Jacksonville and that kind of thing, which has got to be a mark in the pro column for Rich Rod. But it's interesting that nothing's been said, publicly as far as it's either top candidate, second candidate, third candidate. You know, are they close to making some kind of announcement for whoever they're going to hire? They've been really quiet about it. At least the West Virginia side of it. So it's it'll be interesting tomorrow. Like I said, I think we'll learn tomorrow what's going to happen, and we'll go from there. And real quick, Brooks, I'll let you give your thoughts and opinions. But part of the reason that I was, you know, not expecting Jack State to make it through game day without a, you know, coaching change was, you know, Saturday morning rolled around, and pretty much, you know, once we got through noon, you know, Zechariah Poyser and Reggie Hughes had already entered the portal. And I think that for me, I was like, okay, you know, Zechariah Poyser was Jack State's best or second best defensive back. Reggie Hughes had a good year as a linebacker. And I was like, you know, if those two guys entered, I'm assuming they're entering to go to West Virginia. And maybe that's not true. It's not, you know, it sucks to lose those two guys because they were playmakers and difference makers for the defense this year. So, you know, we'll wish them the best of luck wherever they end up, and hopefully they play big roles on the teams they go to. But I kind of expected, you know, those two guys entering the portal so quick, I was like, that probably means your coach is leaving and they're trying to follow him and that kind of thing. But that doesn't seem to be that way, at least not yet. Also, Tayshaun Smoot has entered the portal. He is definitely not going to West Virginia, but he did enter.
Yeah.
And those, just real quick, Tayshaun Smoot, at the time that Jack State signed him, he was the highest rated recruit Jack State ever got. And I think he probably still is. He was the Ohio Player of the Year in high school in 2021, or 2020 and 2021, the school year. And, you know, it's a guy that we thought would come in and pretty much start as a freshman and play, and he's just never seen the field. So, those are your three Gamecocks that have entered the portal so far. Of course, those first two, you know, Zechariah Poyser and Reggie Hughes are big losses, and Tayshaun Smoot is, you know, probably not a big loss, but it is a talking point for us. But Brooks, I'll let you tell us what you think about the coaching news and that kind of thing, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, I think it is interesting, the timing on how this is all playing out. I don't know. I just, you know, and we've talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks now. Even before they even fired Neil Brown, that this could be a possibility that they go back to that Rich Rod wants to go back home. That, I mean, that's where he's from. It's where he's played, where he coached, and had great success. Yes, they had. You know, there is a camp of West Virginia fans, like you said, that doesn't want him because he did go out on, you know, on bad terms. And there's a camp that does want him back because he was, you know, one bad Pittsburgh loss away from playing for a national championship. The only thing that I think that might sway him away is because, and, you know, I know it's just the way the football coaches are, especially head coaches, that their system is the system that's going to work. You know, they can go anywhere in the country and make their system work if they get the right guys. And West Virginia is a place that, you know, you can win. You can win and you can be in national championship contention. I fully believe with their resources and, you know, and their facilities and the recruiting trail, everything that they have, that they absolutely can. But the thing that I think might, that if he doesn't leave, or if he doesn't want to go to West Virginia, that might sway him away is, you know, if he is getting, you know, he's getting on up there in age, and, you know, he can coach the rest of his life at Jack State, and, you know, we win 8, 9, 10 games a year, and win Conference USA every 2, 3 years, however often, you know, and make some decent bowl games. You know, and maybe even sneak into the playoff one year. You know, you can go. The guy will go down as a Jack State legend, no doubt. At West Virginia, you're going to have the pressure of recruiting at a different level, competing for a lot higher caliber recruits, and in the transfer portal too. And I figure by about year three. Back at West Virginia, he's going to be expected, if not year two, he's going to be expected to be in the playoff, and not only in the playoff, probably win a game, at least. So, you know, where he's at in his career as a head coach, you know, he may not want to deal with that kind of pressure again. I mean, the guy's living pretty lavishly here at Jack State. You know, while you may look at it on the surface, yeah, we went 8-4 in the regular season, but this is one of the greatest seasons of Jack State football history to start the season the way that we did and finish the way that we did. he may be satisfied with that. And I think, considering what we've done, I think we're satisfied with that. You know, at the end of the day, we are Jack State. We are the size school that we are. We're the size program that we are. And this has been an absolute, and I'm not downplaying, you know, we can't do better. We absolutely can. I see a future where, we keep building on, especially this season in particular, where we do sneak in the playoff. But, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see in terms of the timing and everything. I'm kind of like you. I think, now that the dust has kind of settled for 2 days, I kind of would have thought that West Virginia, if it was going to be Rich Rod, that they would have announced something probably today. Like I said, now that the dust has settled from winning a conference championship, and we're, Sunday night going into Monday morning, and, there's still no word, and West Virginia may still be interviewing. If they're expected to make an announcement tomorrow, then they probably have. They've conducted all their interviews probably through yesterday and probably took today to kind of talk it over with the athletic department, the board of trustees and everything. And we should hear, like you said, we should hear something tomorrow. But I just kind of, I think if Rich Rod is their number one candidate, that we might have heard something about it today. And I know, this is again what football coaches do when they leave programs like this. He chose his words in his press conference after the game on Friday very, very wisely and said, I don't have any interviews scheduled for this week. I'm not interviewing this week. Mm-hmm. That's because he went ahead and did them already. Is that confirmed, though? I noticed you said that earlier.
I don't know if it was confirmed by anything official, but there were so many places that said he had already interviewed. I think there's truth to it. And for those that are, I know there was a couple, that were angry about him for interviewing, but you can't be mad at a guy for interviewing for something. I mean, he needed to go see what the money was, what the deal was, what they expected, that kind of thing. I don't have any ill will towards him interviewing at all. I don't have an ill will toward him for beating around the bush, about him saying he doesn't have an interview when he already did. That doesn't bother me either. That's just the way the land is college football. You kind of have to do what's best for your current situation. And for him, it was to kind of tell a little white lie and go on about his business. But like you said, whether he stays or leaves, he's going to go down as one of the best coaches in Jack State history. He'll be an absolute legend, and he was only been here for 3 or 4 years at this point. So I would love more than anything to see what he can do over the next 10. But, we'll see if we get that or not. Beyond that, I'd be interested to see who he takes with him, players and coaches, if he was to leave. Rick Trickett, number one for me, as far as Rick Trickett's in his 80s now, maybe his 70s. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think 70s.
I'll let you look that up while we keep talking here, but Rick Trickett is the best offensive line coach in America, or one of the best. He's been at Auburn and West Virginia and all over the place. I would like to keep him. Rod McDowell, running back coach, I would like to keep him. Even Luke Olsen, who we were not fans of the first 3 weeks of the year. His defenses have gotten better and better and better as the years went on. I would like to keep him here. So we'll see. If Rich Rod goes, players, coaches, what all follows. I guess the good news for Jack State is, your 3 or 4 best players are graduating anyway, so you're going to have to replace those. They're not going to West Virginia. Tyler Huff, Trey Stewart, Clay Webb, and, J-Rock and Sean Brown are not going to West Virginia. They're out of eligibility. So I don't know if you think that's, good news or bad news, but you won't see Tyler Huff running the show for West Virginia next year. That'd be painful to watch. But
Trickett's 76, it'll be, I believe.
76. So, Rick Trickett, I would hope, maybe he's done moving the family around and going all over the country coaching football, and he wants to stay at Jack State. And this, we kind of thought this was a retirement job for him anyway when he took it. So, you know, we'll see. And, you know, he could retire also. I mean, he's 76 years old, but we'll see on the coach front who moves and who goes, or who moves and who stays if he does take the job. And I guess while we're here, we'll move into the next part of this segment is who would Jack State hire? And again, if he does leave tomorrow, we'll do a lot more of this tomorrow. Brooks, I know me and you are firmly in the Bill Clark camp. There's a few of us on Twitter who are not, but I think the majority of the Jack State Twitter verse is in the Bill Clark camp for good reason. His body of work speaks for itself. Zach Alley is a second choice. After that, you're kind of guessing after that, I think. But for those that don't know about Bill Clark, for those that are, you know, in college right now listening to this at Jack State that was not here to witness what Bill Clark did in one season at Jack State, he's a special football coach. He 1 year at Jack State in 2014. Is that right, 13. Brooks? 13?
Mm-hmm.
Took a freshman quarterback named Eli Jenkins and a bunch of wide receivers named Josh Barge. We didn't know was any good. And took that team all the way to the quarterfinals against Eastern Washington and got beat. And that was a Jack State team who missed the playoffs year before, I want to say. Under Jack Crow his last year there. So Bill Clark turned Jack State around in one season, at least transitioned them to great heights in one season, and then jump ship to UAB, which was a stepping stone for him, trying to get a bigger FBS job as he went along. And what he did at UAB is there should be a 30 for 30 about, because I don't think anyone else in the country could have put up with what he did from that program and consistently win games and make bowl appearances and that kind of thing. So first year at UAB, really quick, again, for the young audience that knows UAB to be a semi-successful football team, UAB for two decades was the worst FBS program in the country, and I can prove that with numbers if you want me to. UAB, not an easy place to win at. No one could win there. They had one bowl to their name when Bill Clark took that job. In his first year, he went 6-6, and I believe won the Bahamas Bowl or won a bowl game. I'm not sure which one it was. And then after that, they shut the program down. They said, you're done playing football. The Alabama Board of Directors shut UAB football down, and they went 2 years and didn't play football. Bill Clark didn't have a job, and there was so much uproar about it that I think 8 months after they shut the program down, they announced it was going to come back in 2018 probably when it came back, or 2017, somewhere along in there.
Yeah, I think 2017.
And he went 6-6 again. That on its own is a big accomplishment. You could take a program who had zero football players because they all left to go to other schools and continue their career and that kind of thing. He was able to get players in the door, went 6-6 again, and then immediately after that turned around and won double-digit games in two out of the next 3 years, won two conference championships. Or maybe lost one and won one, played in two conference championships. And then kind of had to quit coaching because I believe his back. He just wasn't healthy enough to stand on the sideline and coach like he wanted to, and had to step down. And there in between that, Auburn tried to hire him, and there was a big hoopla with that. But Bill Clark's body of work is very unique, and he was voted at the time. He was at UAB as one of the top 20 coaches in America. And you can kind of see after he left what that program has turned into. So for me and Brooks, we were there to witness Bill Clark at Jack State. We were there to witness Bill Clark at UAB. He is absolutely our number one choice. And just to add to that, he played at Jack State. He went to Ohatchee High School. He is a Calhoun County, Etowah County guy. And he is a big-time football coach. So if Rich Rod does jump ship, I think that's who Jack State will try to hire. I think there's a good chance he will take the job. On the off chance that he isn't healthy enough to coach, which he said he was. He said he's ready to come back and coach. He said that about a month ago now. So on the off chance that, you know, he had a second thought and is not going to come back. I think that Zach Alley is number two. He was Jack State's defensive coordinator last year, and that was an all-time great Jack State defense, and he is now the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma, or the co-defensive coordinator at Oklahoma. So he is certainly a number two on the candidate list for me. And then, you know, beyond that, it's kind of a guessing game. But, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully Rich Rod stays. We don't have to make that decision. But the good news is if he does leave, there is a really good candidate or two really good candidates that are, you know, one of them is in Jacksonville right now, and one of them, you know, coached there last year. So they should be able to hopefully get one of those two guys. Brooks, I'll let you kind of talk about, you know, Bill Clark or Zach Alley and why you prefer those guys. It's kind of the same way that I do.
Yeah, no, those are off the top of our heads. Those are absolutely the two guys that I think that are at the very top of Greg Sites' call list. For everything that you mentioned with Bill Clark, and I've said it a couple times, I cannot believe that Auburn did not give him everything that he wanted anymore. And I know there was a lot of around that time when they hired Brian Harsin, there was a lot of rumor that the donor board had their nose the boosters had their nose poked in way too much and this, that, and the other. But as someone who grew up a Georgia fan too, there is no world where I want to see Auburn succeed. But I really would have liked to have seen what Bill Clark could have done with a program of that size, with that kind of money, with that kind of resources, and, you know, even today in NIL and transfer portal, the facilities that Auburn has, just everything, you know, that a program like Auburn has, because I think he could have been really, really successful. The guy, one, he knows the state of Alabama in terms of recruiting and, you know, just how important college football is. You know, not just Tuscaloosa and Auburn, but in Birmingham, in Jacksonville, you know, all across the state. You know, we don't have any pro teams, so, you know, this is it. This is the lifeblood of athletics in this state. So I really do think, you know, Bill Clark will be at the top of our list. The guy is a special coach. If you can take UAB, have the success that he did before, have decent success before they shut down the program, lose the program for 2 years, and then come back and, you know, win a conference championship playing in Legion Field, which is it's just an absolute sad state right now. Convince them to build a new stadium for UAB. Convince them to build a brand new, you know, outdoor practice facility. Get all these, you know, really build up and really elevate UAB football to, yes, Trent Dilfer, you know, is kind of a dumpster fire. I'll call it as it is at UAB right now. But to even, you know, get them to the point where they are now, to have the resources and facilities and everything that they do, is nothing short of a miracle. I mean, like you said, UAB football is arguably one of the worst programs in college football up until Bill Clark arrived. And so, you know, the guy's a proven winner. The guy, you know, and like you said, he's from Wahatchee. He went to school at Jack State. He knows Jack State, and even this he knows this team pretty well from this year, but from color commentating with Eli Gold on ESPN+. So he's got a pretty good idea of the guys that we put out on the field this year. Now we are losing some to graduation in the transfer portal, obviously, but you know, if we can get guys like Ron Wiggins back for another year, Cam Vaughn, trying to think of Antonio Carter, we should get Michael Pettway back again for another year. You know, all these guys that should be back with the program, you know, I think that he can, I think he can find, I don't think there will be a drop off by any means. I think we'll find about the same success. Now, it'll probably be a little bit different system. From what Rich Rod has Rich Rod Rent. I know while he was here for that 1 year, we did see a lot of running game, but it wasn't. We didn't lean on it as much as we do with Rich Rod. We let Eli air out the ball a lot more in his year at Jack State. And that's not to say that Eli didn't run it and Troy May Pope didn't run it in heavy. DeMarcus James didn't run it a bunch. But it'll be a little bit different, but I think he's got the tools to be if Rich Rod does leave, I think he's going to come in more and have more than enough tools to succeed. Assuming all the key players that we need to stay. And then Zach Alley, I think, will be another really, really good option. If Oklahoma had a decent offense, I think they would have been in playoff consideration because their playoff consideration, or at least, you know, got a lot better than 6-6 because their defense was stout. You know, only giving up 3 points to Alabama, they held Texas to a low scoring game. You know, that they had a good defense. Offense was just awful. So having that past experience, you know, spending 2 years here at Jack State, you know, already knowing, you know, still knowing a bunch of the guys, and knowing the culture around here and the expectation level and everything, I think he'd be a really good fit. I think he is one that's going to get a head coaching job at some point, whether it's at Jack State or, you know, somewhere else. The guy's a special coach without a doubt. But I think undoubtedly those are the top two candidates. From there, I'll that'll be what we'll have to do a little bit more research on, but I know you mentioned last week, Skip Poles might be a name to look at. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Real quick, for those that aren't, you know, that are unfamiliar, Skip Poles is the head coach of the Birmingham Stallions. And I know I said this last week also. You know, he's not a college guy, at least hasn't been a head coach at a college program. But, you know, what he's done with the Stallions, I know that's not the biggest level of competition. And, you know, you're not dealing with you know, real, you know, big time professional football players like you do in the NFL. But, you know, he's won 3 championships with as much player turnover as you have in college nowadays. So from an X's and O's standpoint and getting new players, you know, sped up or up to speed in a certain system, Skip Poles has done a really, really good job with the Stallions. So, you know, that would be a name that might come up once or twice as far as guys to look out for. And again, I don't know if he has any desire to coach at Jack State, any desire to coach in college period, but any Division I coaching job has got to be better than the Stallions. I would just have to imagine, because you know Rich Rod's making about $1 million a year at Jack State, give or take. Trust me, Skip Poles is not getting that from the Stallions. So I think that'd be a really weird dark horse tinfoil hat kind of guy to keep your eye on, just because you know in this day and age of college football, it is running a lot like you see the UFL do, where there is so much player turnover from year to year. And, you know, he's won 3 championships with 3 different quarterbacks. That's player turnover. Just like you've seen at the college level. So, you know, that's a skill set that should transition nicely to what Jack State's going to have to do. Cause Jack State's going to have 30, 40 new players every year for the foreseeable future, if not more new players than that. So, just another guy to keep your eye on, but obviously Bill Clark, number one, Zach Alley, you know, I don't want to say number two, it's 1A and 1B, but I like Jack State's chances of hiring one of those two guys if Rich Rod does get the job tomorrow or whenever they decide to announce.
Real quick on Skip Poles, I just wanted to mention, as it turns out, the Stallions is his first ever non-college coaching job. He's bounced around since the late 80s as a position coach, and then was the head coach at Connecticut for a few years in the late 90s. Of course, he's Lou Holtz's son. So he was an assistant coach at South Carolina while he was there, and then he's been the head coach at East Carolina, South Florida, and Louisiana Tech. So not only Does he know? He's familiar with schools our size. You know, that's mostly where he's coached throughout his year. He also knows the Conference USA really, really well. When East Carolina was in the conference, and Louisiana Tech as of recent.
Shows you what I know about Skip Holtz. All right, we'll leave the coaching talk there. Again, we will see you guys tomorrow in some form or fashion. We'll see you tomorrow morning with this episode, but we will talk to you guys again, you know, tomorrow night or early on Tuesday morning if there is a coaching move for Jack State. We'll obviously talk a lot more about it there. But for right now, we'll kind of leave it. Leave it on that note. On to the bowl games for just a couple minutes. Obviously, we'll do our own full episode for Ohio and, of course, after and that kind of thing. But Jack State did draw Ohio in the Cure Bowl in Orlando. That game is on December the 20th. And Ohio's a good football team. I know you hear Ohio and you're like, oh, no, a MAC school. They won the conference. They're 10-3. They won the MAC, so it'll be, you know, the MAC champion and the Conference USA champion. And I think this is, all things considered, I think this is a good opponent for Jack State. I know that there was some little bit of bummed out over, you know, we heard Oklahoma's name thrown around a little bit there right before the title game, or the week leading up to the title game, about, you know, that could be Jack State's opponent. But I think Ohio is a good opponent too, because you can go beat a conference champion. Not to mention Jack State lost to a MAC school earlier this year, so you can kind of right that wrong also if they can show up and take care of the Bobcats. That's a Friday morning game. It's 11 o'clock on Friday the 20th. If you want to really get into stuff right now, Ohio is a 2-point favorite. At least, of course, that lines will move 100 times before then. But if you just wanted to know, that's what they have right now. And the only real news to talk about now is Ohio does already have to have another head coach. Their coach left, but I'm not entirely sure where. I can find that out for you guys here in a minute. But Ohio will have a new head coach for that game. Jack State may have a new head coach for that game, so that'll be interesting to see. But all considered, I'm relatively happy with Jack State's bowl, but I think that's a little more prestigious bowl than what they played in last year. That's a little more prestigious bowl in the Birmingham Bowl, which is kind of where we thought they might go against Oklahoma when they were thrown around. So all things considered, I think that's a really good spot for JSU to land in. And, of course, we'll do more of a deep dive later on. But, Birch, you can let us know your thoughts about our bowl matchup, and we'll go through the kind of the rest of the conference, the other three teams that got bowl bids also.
I like the bowl game. I like the matchup. I like the location. I think this is kind of a cool matchup. You got two conference championships. Yes, you know, a lot of people see that as the two lowest conferences in FBS football, I think that, like I said, I like the matchup. I think these two teams match up really well in terms of, you know, similar competition, similar schedule, similar results, all that. And like you said, everybody looks at the MAC as, you know, just a garbage league. Ohio's a pretty good football team, and so was Miami, Ohio, and in that game they played some. Bowling Green was better this year. Northern Illinois was decent. So, you know, Ball State was decent. So, you know, there were some, they played some decent competition this year in the MAC. It's very, very similar to Conference USA. It was more top heavy, but nonetheless, Ohio State's a good football team. And I think it's going to be a really good game. I really like, you know, like I said, I like the location, getting to play in Camping World Stadium in Orlando. I think that's a pretty accessible trip, for Jack State fans. Actually a much further trip for Ohio fans, but, I expect our fans to have a pretty good turnout, probably about like it was in New Orleans. I know it's easier to drive from Jacksonville to New Orleans. where, you know, that's about a, depending on where you are, that's about a between an eight and 10 hour drive to Orlando. If you're going to do that, it's a lot easier to fly. But nonetheless, I think that's a, you know, Orlando's gotten to be a really cool area. Of course, you know, Disney Universal, all the parks and everything, but the city's grown and, there's a lot of really cool things to do, you know, within the city, outside of, you know, all the theme parks and everything. So I think it'll be a good trip for our team and our fans to get to go and experience. And from what I've gathered, the stadium's really nice. Like I said, lots to do. So I like the game. Absolutely. I think it's going to be a really good matchup and, a really cool way to send out these seniors and these guys who had such a historic season for Jack State football. And, hopefully, you know, like I said, we'll talk more about, we'll learn more about coaching tomorrow, but, hopefully, Rich Rod will, you know, have these guys ready to go and, you know, win a tough football game. This, I'll be interested to see too, not only who enters the transfer portal, but what Trace Stewart does, because this is absolutely a guy who's going to get some NFL looks. I think I just checked a minute ago. He's up to third in the country in rushing yards, behind Amarian Foster at North Carolina, and of course Ashton Jeanty, who may or may not win the Heisman Trophy. So he's absolutely going to get some pro looks. So I'm interested to see whether he plays in that game to try and help boost his draft stock if he's got a good bit of one, or if he wants to sit out and stay healthy. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Clay Webb. Those are going to be the two guys. You know, Clay Webb is going to get drafted somewhere round 3 through 7, and you'd think that Trey Stewart could be a late round guy. Also, I would certainly expect Trey Stewart to the Senior Bowl. I know that's a big scouting thing for the NFL is the Senior Bowl. I would expect to see Trey Stewart and maybe even Clay Webb there, since they're smaller school guys that want looks. So we'll see if that happens later on in the offseason. But yeah, you don't think that, you know, Jack State would ever have someone sit out of a bowl game. At least you wouldn't imagine, but you know, here we are. We're having a running back with an all-time great season, and we have an offensive lineman who, you know, came from Georgia that was a 4 or 5-star guy that certainly has NFL potential. So there are a couple names that could sit out. I would expect to see Trey Stewart just try to boost draft stock a little bit more. And again, like I said, the Senior Bowl, you know, if he gets invited, he definitely will go down there and play. And then, you know, like you said, same go for Clay Webb. He would be, to me, Clay Webb is more of a sit-out guy as far as I would, you know, if only one of them sits out, I'd expect it to be Clay Webb just because we are pretty sure he's getting drafted somewhere. So, you know, we'll obviously keep you guys updated on that stuff. And then one last note, expect pink. We could have a pink AKC logo on the helmet for that game. That is a Cure Bowl tradition, I think, is for both teams to throw a little bit of pink in the uniform. So if we get a pink AKC on the helmet, that is something. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I think it'll be neat. So that is something to kind of look forward to, maybe. I don't know. But you'll probably see some pink somewhere for that game. And then it'll be warm, which is the next good thing, because Jack State has played back-to-back games below 35 degrees or below 40 degrees, I guess. It'll be probably 70, 75 degrees in Orlando on December 20th. I lived there for a short time, so it was pretty nice in the winter down there. So that is the last thing for Jack State to look forward to, is some warm weather for their bowl game. Like I said, excited about the matchup for sure. I think it's a more than appropriate team for Jack State to play. You're getting to play another conference champion, which is always a lot of fun. And as far as the Group of Five bowl games go, this is obviously one of the top ones because you have two conference champions playing each other. You know, Boise State won the Mountain West. They're in the playoffs, so that'll take precedent there. But, you know, of the other conferences, you know, the Sun Belt and the MAC, you're getting one of those champions. So that's certainly a really, really good thing for Jack State to get to go do. Real quick before we sign off, the other three teams are bowl eligible from the conference: Liberty, Sam Houston, and Western Kentucky. Liberty gets Buffalo in the Bahamas Bowl. Sam Houston gets Georgia Southern in the New Orleans Bowl. And Western gets James Madison in Boca, which was going to be Jack State had they lost to Western in that championship game. So those are your other three Conference USA bowls to look forward to. Certainly would like the conference to win their bowl games. I know that we don't, you know, we don't particularly like Liberty and we don't particularly like Sam Houston. And we're getting where we don't particularly like Western Kentucky now. But this is not the SEC. This is not the Big Ten. It's good for the conference to go win bowl games. So we'll certainly pull for those three teams to not embarrass the conference. We're looking at you, FIU, that lost to Monmouth earlier this year. So the conference, like Brooke said, you know, the MAC and the Conference USA are perceived to be the two worst. So if the conference can win three out of those four games, I think that's a good thing. So we'll keep an eye on that also. But we are about an hour into it, so we're coming up on our time. And again, hopefully tomorrow we don't wake up with a new coach. But it's certainly possible. I know we didn't mean to gloss over the conference championship victory so quick, and hopefully we gave that the justice that it deserved. But you know, we got to keep looking forward, and right now the next biggest obstacle is trying to keep Rich Rod in house, and if not, who we're going to get. So we'll certainly spend more time there tomorrow if we have to. Hopefully we'll be able to just make a Twitter post about Rich Rod staying and move on and talk to you guys next week when we're supposed to. But you know, only time will tell. But right now, Jack State is Conference USA champions in year number two. And that is something to be really, really excited about. They're also going to play in a bowl game. And this is something that I'll put on Twitter later for you guys to tell us your thoughts and what's wrong with my math and that kind of thing. But Jack State is going to play in a bowl game in 200% of the seasons they are eligible to play in a bowl game. And that's a factual statement. They played in one last year. They were not eligible when the year started, and they're going to play in one this year, and they were eligible. So in all the seasons that they've been eligible to play in a bowl game, they've played in a bowl game in 200% of them, which I think is the best in the country. You can check me on that also. But either way, Brooks, let you sign us off, and hopefully we don't talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the goal. You don't want to hear from us tomorrow. But nonetheless, you know, like I said, we don't want all the coach talk and possibilities of who could go where, you know, overshadow the fact that we just won a conference championship in our second year of FBS competition. I mean, you know, this is unprecedented stuff. You know, we've seen the App States, the Georgia Southerns, and even James Madison to a point, you know, have success, you know, fairly soon after they move up from the FCS ranks. But nobody, as far as I know, I don't know of another school that won their conference in their first year eligible to win it from moving up in, from FCS. And I know for a fact last year we were the first school to ever win a bowl game in their first year in FBS. So, you know, this is unprecedented stuff that we're seeing Rich Rod build for this Jack State program. It's absolutely phenomenal, the type of athletes that we're getting, the way that we're winning these games, the different ways that we're finding ways to win. It's just, you know, we keep saying it over and over to turn 0-3 into a conference championship and go into a pretty good bowl game to play another conference champion. It's just it's unreal. And if you would have told, you know, we had a really good last year in FCS, won the ASUN, had a really good last year in FCS and won the ASUN and beat Kennesaw, and you know, kind of stuck it to them for them and the NCAA for not letting us compete in the playoffs and everything, and even the year afterwards, not being technically bowl eligible, we kind of lucked into that, but doing the most with the cards we were dealt. It's we're entering a new era of Jack State football that, to be honest, I never I never thought that I would see in my lifetime. Me and Drew grew up thinking, you know, we were going to be an FCS powerhouse forever. FCS powerhouse forever, you know, towards the, you know, especially in the glory days of John Gross and, you know, leading, you know, Rich Rod coming in. But this is phenomenal stuff we're seeing. So enjoy every minute of it. This is one of the coolest things that you ever see as a small school, as a fan of a small school. The bragging rights are ours. And like I said earlier, I could not be more prouder of this program to see the progression that they've made from the announcement that we are moving R&D moving up to FBS. Credit to Greg Seitz and that athletic department. They look like geniuses, mostly because they are, to get the guys that we've gotten and put out the results. But nonetheless, Jack State, your 2024 Conference USA football champs. And like I said, hopefully you won't hear from us tomorrow. Hopefully the next time you hear from us, we'll you know, it'll be next week, and we're getting ready to talk about our bowl game with Ohio in the Cure Bowl in Orlando. It's going to be a good one. I'm really excited to see, you know, what our team looks like come 2 weeks from now and the result that we put out. So damn great day to be a Gamecock. Could not be more excited. So we'll hopefully talk to y'all next week. See y'all.